Mothers are the person we are born into the world trusting. The one person that drops everything to take care of us. And most of the time, the very first person to crush us. Dina Schlosser followed that exact pattern. Except instead of saying something wrong to her child, or placing unnecessary rules that didn't make much sense, she would go one step further, cutting the arms off of her own child. Hey guys, and welcome back to my podcast. I'm your host, Lulu, and how's everybody's week been? It's been more than 1 week. Mine have been a literal shit show. Welcome to the story of my life. We got back from vacation. I was supposed to record the night we got back. I literally had everything set up. And then my daughter started throwing up. So I was like, okay, I'll go ahead and record the next day. And then my son started throwing up. And then I was like, okay, it can't last that long. And here we are. Three now? Uploads late. And my children are still throwing their guts up. So, luckily they're both down for a nap right now. I think I have enough time to record our Mother's Day episode that was supposed to go up on Mother's Day. Also, I messed around with my new audio equipment and I still can't seem to figure it out very well. It took me forever to sort of figure out like Anyways, it took me a little while to figure out how I needed to record this so it sounded right because my voice just kept going really funky when I tried to get rid of like the background noise because we are in my house again, which means that you can hear my AC and stuff. So it took me a long time to try to get that fixed. It's still, in my opinion, not as good as I want it to be, but I am one person and I am learning and I am sorry. Anyways, I also want to let you guys know that I am also live on YouTube now. All it is a little picture of our logo here at Confessed Obsessed, and then the audio is just over that logo for now until I can really be in a better place to put, you know, the face out on there. So if you guys wanted to subscribe to me, that would be awesome. And then once again, I got like a comment on one of the first episodes we ever covered here, just about the way I covered it. So I did want to, you know, let you guys know that if you ever hear of a case that you know, personally about or anything, and you feel like I did not do it justice or I messed up some of the facts, anything like that, feel free to reach out. I would love to do a follow-up episode. I did go ahead and let this commenter know that. So we might have a follow-up episode on one of my other very much older cases, one of the very first ones we did here. And I'm sure you guys would love that, and I would love that too. But yeah, I just wanted to remind you, if I ever cover a case that's either dear to you, or you know more information about, or I get something wrong, please reach out here. We do not like to spread misinformation here at Confessed Obsessed, and we will do everything we can to rectify that if that is the case. But because, you know, we are 2 years old in podcast form here at Confessed Obsessed, and we have so many episodes, I can't just post them all at once on YouTube. One, I don't have enough subscribers. Two, that's actually a lot of work and time on my part to get them all done and post them all at once. And three, I just feel like that would be a lot to post like 100 videos at one time. So if you guys do subscribe to me on YouTube, you can either rewatch all of those really old videos or really old audio, I guess, you know, things that we've covered and like them if you wanted to, or you can just subscribe. And then when we are caught up on YouTube, because I'm going to post twice a week on YouTube until we are caught up here at Confessed Obsessed to the present. When we are caught up to the present, it'll go back to just once a week, the same as we do here. So just so you guys know, it's going to be behind on YouTube for the next little bit until we're caught up. But yeah, if you guys want to follow me on there, that would be amazing. YouTube is also really nice because it gives me a platform where you guys can comment things. Even though I know that this person that commented was not a fan, at least I'm assuming she's not a fan, and she was upset about the way I covered it, I really enjoy getting that kind of those kind of responses and stuff, letting me know when something just doesn't feel like it's been shined in the right light. So I like to be on that platform where you guys can comment and either tell me if you liked it or what you didn't like about it, or, you know, ways that we can improve here. So even if you don't want to go re-listen to all of the old episodes, you can always go on and leave your comments on an old episode if you ever had any that you couldn't really leave comments on. Anyways, enough of all of that. We're going to go ahead and move into today's episode. I am also going to record another one of the episodes that was supposed to go up today. And when I record that one, I'll let you guys know about my vacation and stuff. But we're already 5 minutes in and we should just move on at this point. So because it was Mother's Day when this was supposed to go up, I went ahead and I wrote about Dina Schlosser, I think is how you say her name. It's spelled weird, and you know me in pronunciation, I am just terrible at it. Can't even speak English very well, so I suck at pronouncing. But Dina is the mother that we are going to talk about. Most of the time, if you haven't noticed, I will actually name my episodes after the victim, just because I would rather give the victim all of that light over, like, the murderer. And that's not always the case. With serial killers, it's a little different, but yeah. Because it was a Mother's Day case, it is named after the mother in the case. So let's talk about Dina a little more. Dina was born sometime in 1969. In every single one of my sources I read, it only gave me the year that she was born, and it didn't tell me the day or where she was born, which I do find is kind of interesting, but I can see how with such an extreme case, they would leave that piece of information out because they would want to move on to the other things that happened. Now, Dina's childhood was very, very normal until she had some sort of traumatic injury. I can't also find what injury this was. I just read over and over that she had a traumatic injury when she was a child. Whatever injury this was, it would lead her to develop hydrocephalus. This is when fluid will begin to build up in the brain and can cause pressure inside of the brain. Now, I am not sure if she got any injuries of the brain from this traumatic injury or from this buildup of fluids, but I do want to just kind of remind you guys that in a lot of different, like, serial killer cases, they have tracked back some sort of brain injury. Oftentimes it happens to the frontal lobe, I think. And it's possible that maybe this injury hindered some sort of mental development, but it's not ever been confirmed that, you know, you're going to get a head injury, you're going to go on to hurt somebody. But I did want to touch back on, we have seen this pattern a couple different times before. Symptoms of hydrocephalus usually include a headache, double vision, poor balance, some personality changes, and even mental impairment as it gets worse, basically as it damages the brain more. Other symptoms can occur like vomiting, sleepiness, and seizures. I did also read that this can actually be a birth defect that children have sometimes. Now, in most of my sources, it states that she just had it, except for one which stated she had an injury that caused it. So it is very likely that she was born with it and there's some misinformation there. And it is also very likely that she had an injury and developed it later in her childhood. Now, because of this, she would go on to have 8 different surgeries. All of these surgeries started when she was only 8 years old. She would have shunts put in her brain, her heart, and her abdomen. And as soon as she turned 13, it seemed like she would be okay, and they would finally have whatever this was under control, and Dina would go on to live as normal of a life as she could at this point. Now, because of these brain surgeries, she actually had to have her head shaved, and while she grew up, she would be made fun of constantly and bullied pretty badly because of her shaved head, which is just heartbreaking. This did probably lead to some resentment in her adult life, because this bullying wasn't just in, you know, elementary school. It moved on all the way to high school, and she got pretty badly bullied all through her schooling. She didn't let this stop her, though, and she decided to move on to college and graduate with a degree in psychology. which I think is very interesting because of what she would go and end up doing later on. Now, while she was getting her degree, she would meet a man named John Schlosser. She fell in love with John, and he was also attending the same college when he wanted to. Most of the time, John would just show up to hang out, and he would just kind of blow off school. Dina would find out that John's father was paying for his whole schooling, so John didn't really feel like he needed to be there, and it didn't matter, and so he wasn't there. Dina would graduate with this degree in psychology, whereas John would walk away with her, taking nothing with him. Because of this, jobs were very difficult for John to get, and Dina, interestingly enough. Dina had that fresh degree and John had nothing. Now these two would go on to get married and move to Texas, where they would attempt to move on and have a family and place some pretty firm roots down. During this time, John would actually start and run a very, very good computer science business. And from the outside looking in, things were great. But Dina was not working. Now, it wasn't because she didn't necessarily want to use that degree. Dina had recently gone through 3 different miscarriages with John and wasn't working at all because John refused to let her work. Later down the line, he also decided he was going to leave his job and just do side jobs. Now, this was a great idea, except the two of them ran out of money very, very fast. Even with no money, John would refuse to let Dina use her freshly and hard-worked-for degree, and the two of them would end up very, very much struggling to make ends meet and have 2 children together. Now, children are amazing. They are one of the best things that I personally have ever experienced, but they are also very, very expensive. These two were already struggling for just themselves, and now they had 2 more mouths to feed. During their scramble to find some money and keep themselves above water, they would discover the Water of Life Church. Now, this church was ran by a man named Doyle Davidson. Doyle was once a veterinarian who had decided that he was going to leave that behind and run this church. Now, in these meetings that he would hold, that Dina and John would attend, Doyle would tell these people that God was speaking to them through him, and that he was basically this all-powerful messenger that God was using to communicate with them. Now, the two of them would find themselves digging their heels deeper and deeper into the church. Unfortunately, because they began to really focus on the Water of Life Church, they were not really looking for ways to make money or jobs anymore, and their home would get foreclosed on and they would be homeless. They saw this as a sign and would actually move themselves closer to the church and dive even deeper into it, probably in the hopes that the church would lead them to some sort of path to make some money. Now, John and Dina, homeless and really focusing on this church, would end up getting pregnant with their 3rd child. In 2003, Dina would give birth to a beautiful baby girl who they named Margaret. Now, there was something about this birth that really sent Dina off. Here's where I find it a little interesting. Remember, Dina has that degree in psychology, which means she has studied, you know, behaviors and all of these things. So it's likely that maybe it's different for somebody going through it. It's possible she suffered from, you know, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, postpartum psychosis. And, you know, in my mind, she should have seen those signs because she had that degree, but because she was going through it, it's likely that those signs were not really there for her, if that makes any sense. So even though all of this happened, I do find it interesting that she had that degree in psychology, but I can also see on a different perspective that maybe that wouldn't have helped at all in this case, because even somebody who's going through like a bipolar manic episode doesn't always know that it is a manic episode and that they are seeing things until they're out of that manic episode. Does that make sense? Either way, one day after Margaret was born, Dina attempted suicide and was unsuccessful. Now, this should have been the first red flag to everybody that there was something wrong with Dina. After that, they would try to send her off to a mental institution in hopes that this would get her the help that she needed. While she was there, she did get diagnosed with bipolar disorder with psychotic features, and CPS did get involved. Now, I have personally went through some stuff with somebody that has bipolar disorder with psychotic episodes, and it's definitely a very scary thing to watch a loved one go through, and I can only imagine how it felt going through it herself. Now, CPS would get involved and be looking very, very close because Dina had tried to commit suicide. She just got diagnosed with a pretty big mental disorder. And they would really start to get more involved when Dina would have another psychotic episode. At this point, CPS deemed her unsafe to be with the children, and they would send her to another mental hospital. But it was clear Dina loved these children, and she was doing everything she could to get this disorder under control. At least that's what they thought. So they didn't take the children away. They deemed her unsafe to be with the children alone, though. And for a long time, this is how things were. Dina and John would be all together with the children, and when something had to happen, John would take the children. They would attend this church. They would make money on the side, and Dina would attempt to battle this very hard mental disorder with a newborn baby. And then here's where things started to take another turn. Dina would actually talk to John one day and inform John that she wanted to give Margaret, this now 10-month-old baby, to Doyle, that man that ran that church, because this baby needed to be given to God, basically. Now, this would make John mad because John wasn't struggling with a mental disorder and he didn't want to give his children away. And he decided that the best way to punish Dina for this idea was to hit her with a wooden spoon. He would begin to just like beat her across the butt with this spoon while their children watched, which I think is a very odd thing to do. And I am not saying hit your children with wooden spoons, but I do know back in the day, at least when I was a child, people were getting spanked in the butt with wooden spoons and belts, and you know, your parents were doing it to you. So like, that's still not right to me, but it's even wronger that you're doing it to punish your wife. I don't know. That to me is also very strange. And I know what a lot of you guys are thinking, maybe it was an abusive situation. I can't tell you if it was or not, because this is the one and only time that any sort of abuse was ever mentioned. It seemed mostly like he just didn't want her to work, which is, I mean, I guess a little bit of an abusive thing to refuse to let her work. But it never talked about him being physical with her or like anything like that, besides beating her across the butt with this wooden spoon. Now, it is also likely that maybe the church encouraged this kind of behavior with your women, and they like weren't she wasn't being abused by him before they got into the church. I do know we have talked about a couple churches where it talks about that kind of thing, where like the women are not the ones in charge still and it's the men, and then the men beat the women and, you know, get punished. We have talked about churches like that. So maybe that's what was going on, but also I don't know. Now the next morning would come around and John would either leave to attend church himself or go and do a side job to make some money. Either way, John left Dina alone with three children. Now, remember you guys, Dina was deemed unsafe by CPS to be left alone with her children. I don't know how often this was happening, but on this particular day, God would begin to speak to Dina. Now, this is your trigger warning. Things are about to get sad. Dina would walk into the kitchen and pull a knife out. She would walk over to her 10-month-old baby girl, and while listening to the words of God, Dina would begin to saw the arms off of her baby girl. Dina was covered in blood. She would continue to do this despite the probably heartbreaking screams that were coming from this baby until both of the arms were cut off. Then she would attempt to begin to slice her own arms off. She only managed to give herself a pretty deep gash in one of her arms, though. And now I'm unsure if Dina made this phone call before she cut the arms off of Margaret or after. But she would call the children's daycare. She would say something to the daycare workers that really made them concerned about the children's safety. And they would end up calling the authorities and just asking them to do a wellness check on Dina and the three children. Now, we've talked about wellness checks before. A wellness check is when the authority is checking on basically the wellness of the whole family. Which means, if they're done right, because there have been cases where they've not been carried out correctly, the authorities are to make sure by any means necessary that everybody is okay. That also means that they let themselves into your house, they can break your door down, they can break open your car, anything they need to do to make sure you are fine. They would arrive at this home. They probably, because most of the time they knock first, would knock and nobody would answer. Because it is a wellness check, they would let themselves into Dina's home. Instead of discovering a passed out, overworked, tired mother because she just has, you know, this 10-month-old and two other children, they would discover Dina sitting on a chair, absolutely covered in blood, singing church songs. Then they found the child. I don't know if Margaret was alive at this point, but they did take her away, and Margaret did not survive these injuries. They began to relentlessly question Dina, why she did it, what happened, and all she said was that God told her to do it. She then would bring up a news story about a young boy who had been mauled by a lion, and that was God's sign to her that she needed to cut the arms off of her child, her baby, so that she could give the child to God. According to her, God was telling her to cut the arms and the legs and the head off of Margaret to give the child to him so that she was properly brought up to him. She also needed to cut her own arms off to finish that, but she hadn't gotten that far. I think that line is interesting. Now, remember though, guys, she is most likely in a manic episode. I say most likely because you never know for sure. You know, we're not in her body, but I know it doesn't sound right, you know, cut the arms, legs, and head off your baby and then your own, because she cut the arms off of her baby and then she attempted to cut her own arms off. And if she didn't have arms, how would she finish the job? But in a manic person's head, that doesn't make sense. In a manic person's head, and remember, I've dealt with this really firsthand. In a manic person's head, they can't really think about, like, those type of things, like the timeline and how they would have to do it in order to, like, actually succeed into what God was saying or whatever. They just know they have to do this, like, group of things, and they will just randomly do it. So to me, just based off of my own personal experience, the fact that she said that God wanted her to cut the arms, the legs, and the head off of her baby, and then the arms of herself, and she cut the arms off Margaret and then attempted to cut her own arms off, but was still planning on somehow cutting the legs and the head off of her baby too after her arms were gone, that right there does feel like some sort of bipolar manic episode. But I'm not a doctor. This is just based off of what I have gone through and what I've seen firsthand. Either way, they would take Dina away and deem her very, very mentally unstable and pull the other two children out of the home, out of the mother and the father's custody. Now, the other two older children were completely unharmed, and they would continue to examine Dina and eventually give her the diagnosis of postpartum psychosis. Finally, they had enough evidence to hold Dina accountable, and they would begin her trial. During this trial, they would actually bring in Doyle, the owner of that church, to speak to the courts. Now, he would inform everybody listening that he believed all mental illness was just demons, and that really nobody was mentally ill, and if you were taking medication for it, you were doing nothing but hiding that demon. In order to get better, you would have to defeat that demon in yourself. And that's when the other parts came out. Dina had been taking antipsychotic drugs for years, you guys. Years. Before the incident. But when John and Dina got involved in the church and would begin to listen to these teachings, John decided that he was no longer going to buy these antipsychotics for Dina, and that she should not be medicated for the psychosis that she was experiencing because she was hiding the demon. That alone just makes me upset. To tell anybody that struggles with any sort of mental illness that it's a demon that you have to fight off and that you can't take medication for it, or you're like hiding this demon, is wrong, in my opinion. I am somebody who suffers from a couple different things. You know, we've talked about the depression that I have had, especially the seasonal depression that I struggle with. I've mentioned my ADHD here before. Like, if somebody looked at me and said, hey, that's demons in you and you've got to fight them off yourself, like, that would make me feel horrible about trying to treat it. And the fact that her own husband would take these drugs from her and then leave her alone with the children after CPS, you know, deemed her unsafe to be with the children is just, it's just mind-boggling. That doesn't make sense to me. In the end, they handed Dina not guilty by reason of insanity, and they would send her off to a psychiatric facility. She would then be forced there to take meds every single day and focus on her mental health. While she was there, she would meet a woman named Andrea Yates, who was another Texas woman, who had actually drowned all five of her children in order to save them from the devil. And the two of them just hit it off. They had a great friendship. And at one point, Dina was released. She was told she had to continue to take birth control so she could not conceive another child. And she had to continue taking these antipsychotic drugs. She also had to see her therapist regularly and have absolutely no contact with her now ex-husband, because he did file for a divorce when all of this happened. And he also did get custody of their other two children. So she was not allowed to have contact with him or the children. She was also not allowed under any circumstances to be with any children alone. She would be out for a while until she was spotted by her neighbor, confused in the middle of the night, wandering the streets. They deemed her mentally unstable again, and they threw her back into the mental facility. This next part sort of makes me a little sad. She would be released once again later down the line with the exact same restrictions, and she would actually end up getting a job at Walmart. It wasn't long before somebody or a couple different people put two and two together and realized who she was. And there was really this big uproar about her working at Walmart. Walmart did end up firing her, unfortunately, and they publicly stated to everybody that she had passed the background check. Because if she wouldn't have passed it, she wouldn't have been hired. And you guys, I understand people's concern, but if she was being properly medicated and seen and really under a watchful eye, which she was, it's really heartbreaking to me that a community wouldn't allow her to get a job. I do see how it would be scary and how she would be a little dangerous, you would think, with your children, but as long as she is not under any, you know, alone time with children, she'll be fine. She should be fine. There's not any, it's not like she's running a daycare or, you know, taking children from people at Walmart. She was literally just working at Walmart trying to live a normal life. And then there was an uproar and people made her lose her job, which is really, really sad. But maybe that's just my opinion. Because of what I've seen my family go through, and I could not imagine somebody, and granted, my family didn't cut the arms off of a child, but I couldn't imagine a job just firing them because of what they went through, instead of just like letting them try to be normal. Either way, she did end up relapsing once again and going back to that mental institution. And as far as everything that I have read, and as far as I know, she is still there to this day. It's heartbreaking that the first person that you're born into this world, that you trust, could be the one to tear you away from it. Do you think Dina would have ever hurt her children if she was properly medicated and taken care of? Should she have been left alone with her children? Ever? And if her husband was withholding her the ability to get a job and not picking up medication for her, doesn't it sound like he maybe played a bigger part than the media thinks he did?
There may be false or misleading information throughout this podcast. All facts have been researched to the best of my abilities, but accidents do happen. If this is a story you are interested in knowing more about, I highly recommend doing your own research. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.